This is the Rahul Bajaj Show, featuring Eric Huberman, the CEO of Hawk Media. How are you doing today, Eric?
Doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Everything's going well. And I'm glad to have you on my show. And it's great to finally connect face-to-face on here virtually on Zoom. So, yeah. So I'll just play like a small like intro song for us, and then we can go into the Q&A. Yeah. Yeah, thank you everyone for joining us today. And Eric, I would love to start off by asking you what inspired you to start Hawk Media, and for the listeners to know a little bit about your success story.
Yeah, honestly, it just came from I built some of my own brands, and I built and sold a couple e-commerce companies, and then was advising and consulting for a bunch of other brands on how to drive revenue growth using marketing, and just found that 99% of agencies out there have no idea what they're doing. And the few that are any good tend to get really expensive, want long contracts, high minimums. And the only other alternative, hiring in-house, isn't cost effective, is hard to find people, you end up operating in a vacuum. And so the landscape was just really difficult. And so wanted to bring accessibility to great marketing. And so grabbed a small SWAT team of people, each with their own expertise, like a Facebook marketer, an email marketer, web designer, fractional CMO, et cetera. And went to these companies and said, everything's a la carte, month to month, cheaper than hiring in-house. But the idea is, we can spin up exactly what you need when you need it, and ebb and flow and change as your needs change.
Awesome, yeah, that's amazing. I love love the story so far. And and actually, another question I had is about Hawk Media. Like, your tagline is CMO in a box, and I just want to know about the inspiration behind the vision of for your company.
Yeah, so our tagline is actually your outsourced CMO.
Okay.
Yeah, but and people do say CMO in a box as well. But the idea was, you know, your outsourced CMO connoted a higher level of strategic thinking. So it wasn't just a digital agency or a marketing agency. It's like, no, that's actually what we're trying to disrupt and replace. We're trying to do something a little different. So it was connoting a higher level of thought, strategy, experience, and coming in from a strategic level, not just we're going to do your Facebook ads, but we're going to think through what you actually need and then do it.
Right. Okay, nice. Makes sense. And from the social, like everyone who's using like these different audio apps out there, which one has been so far like your best experience on which app so far? Yeah.
The audio apps, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, the audio apps, yeah.
Yeah, I loved Clubhouse for a while, but it's just, it doesn't seem to have been keeping up. I hope that they figure it out because I really like the team there. I like people on it, but it went crazy from like December to March. And then it really dropped off fast in terms of activity, but that's really where I like the community that they built on there.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, it makes sense. And then the next question I had is, what is the passion that drives growth for you at Hawk Media?
What is the passion that drives growth?
Yeah, the passion that drives growth, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's two things. One, I have a passion to drive growth. Like, I love growing things, building things, learning new things. And if we're not growing, then the work gets redundant, and that drives me nuts. Like, I want new challenges. I want new experiences. And so that comes with growth and having to build. So that's part of it. And then the other part is, I really am true to our mission. Accessibility to great marketing means something to me. I've been through the frustrations of it, and I want to solve that for people and make marketing accessible.
Wait. Okay, nice. Yeah, that makes sense. And then going into the next one is, how's that line of thought affect your business, like in terms of being able to deal with so many things at once, and like you're trying to multitask at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, it gives us a level of drive, because we have to be improving, we have to be growing, I have to be seeing, you know, up and to the right, so to speak, in our metrics, so that I feel like we're accomplishing our goals. Because if not, that's one of my probably biggest pet peeves in life, is sitting in the same spot, working. You know, if I work my butt off and I feel like I'm in the same place and I'm treading water, I hate it. Like, that just kills me. So it has really pushed me and driven me to push our people and to push our teams and push our executives to continue to grow and find new ways to build this.
Oh, okay, wonderful. And as now, how big is your team?
We're like 270.
Oh, 270. Wow, nice. So, and you started this, when did you exactly start Talk Media?
January 2014.
Oh, okay.
January 13th. Yep.
Nice. And at the moment, are you working on any other ventures, or what are you currently doing now?
No, I mean, I think I'll probably be doing this the rest of my career, life, whatever that looks like. But
Yeah.
because this has become a platform for me, so the answer is yes and no. Like, I'm always working on new initiatives and new things to grow the company, which include M&A and buying agencies. It includes tech enablement for the company. It includes our venture fund. It includes our financing arm, where we do, debt financing for our clients as well to help them with working capital. It includes the book we're releasing. So we're coming out with a book of our marketing methodology called The Hawk Method, and already pre-selling it at hawkmethod.com. So it's like all these different things that we spin up that really serve the greater purpose of accessibility to great marketing by funding, marketing software and e-commerce software that is good for our clients, by helping with financing because working capital is a constraint to marketing, by actually doing great marketing, by releasing this book that tells a lot of our marketing secrets, by doing all these different things that make us better at what we do.
Nice. Yeah, that's amazing. And with now like Facebook getting changing their name to Meta,
Yep.
how's that have you like dipped in your feet into that metaverse with like Talk
Yeah.
Media? Or?
I mean, played with it. I think it's going to be a long way off, but listen, like Facebook making it one of the biggest companies in the world, making a full pivot into it is a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy here that like something's coming there. Now, I'm curious how much hubris is involved with them, taking the name Meta and assuming that they're going to be the ones to, do it. But I think, listen, it's an inevitability that there's going to be a confluence of digital and physical life, and how that's going to look, which is the metaverse, is what they talk. It's basically augmented reality, and a lot of those kind of things coming into common usage. Which, I listen, Pokemon Go is the metaverse. Like, there's a lot of things that are already a part of it. NFTs, in a lot of ways, have a lot to do with the metaverse. So, yeah, I think that there's definitely something there. From a marketing perspective, it's what I actually, one of the things I appreciate about marketing that most people don't understand is we don't have to move fast in it. We can wait until it's, got a large audience to do anything with it. Being the first mover rarely has a benefit. So we can kind of let it play out, play with it a little bit, do a few things in the space, but then wait till it really has a big audience before we jump in.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I love that point you made about like marketing, and yeah, that's a great point actually. And in terms of also with like the business entertainment and technology space, where do you see it heading towards like in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, in many, many different directions, but I think that everyone's going to be paying attention to metaverse. I think now it's a function of it. So people are going to be looking at ways to blend reality with virtual reality and finding ways that, your digital personality and your physical one, combine. And I think a lot of entertainment will do that. I think, a lot of media will do that. And then marketing will follow, because when people's attention goes to more online than in person, that's where marketing is going to go, which already happened. Digital has, there's more marketing dollars spent on digital than traditional now. So when that blends, so will the way people market.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. And with with your going back to NFTs actually, so have you in your company like invested into NFTs or created your own?
Not really, a small amount, but nothing that compelling. I mean, I had friends give me tips very early that I should get into it. For smart people that you would probably know of, that were like, buy these things, buy CryptoPunks, get into Bored Ape Yacht Club, like do all these things. And it's just, I've also, and I kind of alluded to this, like, I like sticking to what I understand and know and can really know and research. And I've done very well, thankfully, on my investments that I understand and that I know. And so I have enough opportunity there that I don't need to chase, what do you call speculative investing, hoping that a JPEG with a piece of blockchain attached to it is going to be worth 20 times more a year from now than it is now. It's just not really a big thing for me. That being said, maybe a year from now I'll change my tune. I'm going to Art Basel. Let's go find out what these NFTs are all about, and maybe I end up buying one. Who knows? But I honestly doubt it. It's not really my space.
Nice. And with also like the cryptocurrency, have you invested in that? space as well, or are you?
A little bit, not nothing crazy, but I bought some Bitcoin early and I bought some Ethereum early. So like I've just continued to build a small portfolio there, but that's more of like fun money at this point. Like it's not, I have friends that have put significant amounts of their net worth into it and have done incredibly well at this point. But I don't know, like I spend my time on risky stuff. I, you know, starting companies, helping co-found companies, building Hawk Media, like all these things are volatile enough that when I make cash, I don't need my cash to go into risky stuff too. I'd rather go into not even conservative, like not hyper conservative. I'm not doing treasury bonds, but I'm going into, again, marketing technology, e-commerce tech, real estate, things that I understand that I can invest in and do well in.
Yeah, that's amazing. And with like for in terms of one piece of advice you would give to like young individuals like millennials to become a successful entrepreneur like yourself, what would that be?
I would say just know that signing up to being an entrepreneur means you're going to deal with the biggest problems of the company at every step of the company, and it never goes away. So get your head around that, because I hear a little too much about like burnout or, you know, woe is me, I'm a founder. It's like you're here by choice. You can always go get a job. So don't whine about being an entrepreneur or a founder. Own it, be cool with it, and then go and. And once you take that ownership and you stop the victim complex of like, oh God, this has happened to me, but no, I chose this and this is what I signed up for. And you understand that you signed up for dealing with all the biggest problems. Then when they happen, they're just challenges and part of the job versus this like weight that you constantly feel. Like, then fucking quit and go get a job. Like, if not, but if not, then know that you're here by choice and act accordingly. And that's thankfully, I got, you know, coached on that mindset too. And it's helped me through some, you know, challenging times because it's like I can quit. But I'm choosing not to. Now I'm here by choice. Like again, it's you take that ownership back. You take that power back.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. And with the recently they were talking about like the ENS drop. Do you have any thoughts on that?
The what?
The ENS drop like for Ethereum. They were talking about that on Clubhouse. I don't know if you were in the room, but with Sriram
I
Krishnan
wasn't.
and oh okay. Oh no worries. Yeah, so it's like mostly in that crypto space. But yeah, I was like listening into the room, so it sounded pretty
Interesting.
interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, and also with for the listeners out there, when you first started, like you know, before Hawk Media, what were you doing at that time? Like as you were like in college, and what how did you make your go up from there in terms of climbing the ladder?
Yeah, I mean, in college, I always took jobs to fi I was a business major and I took jobs to figure try things out because I wanted to learn. So I worked in a real estate office. I worked in a sold knives door to door for Cutco. I helped start a storm drain filtering company. So I had all these different little quick experiences. And then when I got out, I wanted to go into real estate and I got my commercial real estate license or my real estate license, but went into commercial real estate and started exactly a week before the entire banking industry collapsed in 2008. So made like $350 that year. Realized this was not going to work about 6 months in and started working on an online music company that I ended up building for 2 years, getting to profitability, then hired a CEO to take that over and then built two different subscription e-commerce companies and sold them and then started Hawk.
Nice. And what was the music company called?
Fame Wizard.
Oh, okay, cool. So is it a platform like where you can
It
stream
was
music or?
one-on-one business coaching for musicians. So trying to help independent artists learn how to actually make money being an independent artist, because we just found that the, you know, they have a raw entrepreneurial spirit, but they have no idea how to focus it or how to use it.
Right. Oh, okay, nice. And
Yeah.
now currently with your like in terms of like collaborations or projects, are there any new things you could share with the audience or listeners with in terms of what you're working on currently?
Yeah, the biggest one is the book. So we launched, you know, again, the Hawk Method. Our goal is to sell 20,000 copies by March 1, and we're really trying to, you know, democratize the access to market, great marketing. So all our secrets growing over 3,000 brands and our methodology around it. So we're trying to make it a framework in which if you're building a business or you're running a marketing team or you're trying to, you know, a marketing student, you want to understand marketing. This is the book you can go to and really just get an overview of like, got it, I understand how marketing works now. And so we're already working with a lot of major universities. We're, you know, sending this, a lot of our partners are distributing it to their brands. We're sending it to our clients. You know, it's the idea is like, let's really open up how this all works and demystify it a little bit. So again, it's at hawkmethod.com.
Right. Okay, makes sense. And in terms of like personal connections are obviously the like cornerstone of any good business, but How have you regrouped around keeping those connections alive while working remotely?
Yeah, that hasn't been an issue. I mean, I always kept in touch virtually. I touch base with most of my connections on email quarterly and just make sure I stay in touch with everyone. And then, Zoom and Slack and all that, like, it's easy. Like, don't get me wrong, it's nice to be in person. And like, I went to an event, was that last night? Jesus, it was last night. Like, I'm still getting out and about and doing things now, but like during the heart of the pandemic when we weren't, a lot of people seemed to struggle. I don't know. I didn't have as much of a difficulty with the whole transition to virtual.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's wonderful. And in terms of like the communication aspect of it, like with your team, and so like you mentioned, it's not been as hard with like communicating with your team through COVID. So you would say like it's been pretty smooth in that sense.
Yeah, this team's done really well.
Nice. And as of now, like are you currently hiring folks like say in marketing or sales or in any other department currently?
Yeah, we're hiring across the board. We're growing pretty fast, so we have a lot of job recs open. In fact, I can tell you what it is right now. Have a good report.
Oh, nice.
Oh no, of course the report's not filled out for today. But yeah, I think we have like 20 job recs open.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah, I can definitely tell all my friends about it, and also the listeners. I think some of them can apply to some of your job positions, so I think that'd be pretty cool.
Perfect. Love to have them.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess just one last question is for the listeners. Just wanted to see how like your experience, like what's your best experience been so far, like around like your career or starting Hawk Media or just overall in your life. Yeah.
What's the best, like most enjoyable experience?
Yeah, most enjoyable experience. Yeah.
It's not necessarily like one specific experience. I'd say the coolest thing is watching my employees build lives around something that I created, and now they've created too. But like, whether it's buying their home and getting married or having kids or buying investing. One of our employees bought an investment property, and like watching people make lucrative lives off of an ecosystem and a framework I created is probably the most rewarding part, as well as the other side of it, which is our clients. Like watching us grow a company to a point where, like, some of my clients started much less successful than I am and are now much more successful than I am. And that's cool. Like, I'm not jealous. I'm happy that we were able to be a part of that and help. And so, it's really cool to watch, I actually go back to this when I talk about NFTs and crypto investing and all that. Like, the people that are just investing in crypto and getting rich because they put 10 grand in 8 years ago and now are worth $1 billion, whatever it is. It's like, but there's no value created in that. What I feel good about is like the amount of value I create for an entire ecosystem. Our employees, our clients, our partners, our clients' customers, like all these, this chain of value that is created because we're introducing great products to customers through marketing, and that pays for our clients' livelihood, our employees' livelihood, our clients' employees' livelihood, and even their customers are getting, some sort of product or service that they value. And it's this cool value chain that is really fun to be a part of. And you feel like, when we do well, it's an indicative of the fact that we're doing a lot of other people are doing well. And it's a great thing.
Nice. Yeah, that's wonderful. And actually, I just actually as I was thinking like, as you were talking, I had actually two more questions for you. So there's a saying, like you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So do you agree with that, or what are your thoughts on that
I
saying?
think it's bullshit. I think, listen, it's great to be. I have a lot of great people I surround myself with, and I have a lot of people that are just good friends. So, like, there's this thought process of, like, if I want to be a billionaire, my five closest friends better be billionaires. I think that's crap. I think that, I think that there's like having people that have been with me through and through that tell me like it is and remember when I was just a nerdy goofball in college and high school, et cetera. It's good to have those people around too. that, you know, they don't have to be some world beater that's going to, you know, elevate you, but they just remind you to be humble. Like, that side is important too, in my opinion. That doesn't mean I don't spend a ton of time with people that help elevate me and teach me and I can learn from, but I think the whole sum of the five people you surround, like, it's kind of like the, this is great because Mark Zuckerberg was just on Gary Vee's podcast and he thankfully said this, because I got asked about this on a podcast like 2 weeks ago. I generally wear black t-shirts. Like, I just do, because I don't give a shit, and I'm black or white. I grab one or the other. And so I get asked, oh, is it that decision fatigue thing? Like, you wear the same thing every day because you can only make so many decisions in a day. And, you know, and so you just eliminate that one. And it's like, I'm sorry, but I don't think I actually hit the cap of decisions I can make in a day. Nor does Mark Zuckerberg, nor did Steve Jobs. Like, that's a bullshit media-driven reason. And Mark Zuckerberg said the same thing. He's like, no, I just don't care. And it's easy. Like, that's it. It's not like some, like, higher, you know, like, what do you call it? Like, biohack. It's just, it's easy. So you could call it laziness and a lack of priority. Like, it really could, because I'm focused on other stuff. I don't care if it's, I don't need to express myself through my wardrobe. So I wear jeans and t-shirts, like, really simple. So it's, you know, I think that's, it's an important to know that it's not always about this, like, broad thesis. It's a lot of times just as simple as face value.
Nice. Yeah, I really love that, actually, because I think most people, I think they look good in black. I think that's like the
slimming colors, so yeah. But also, again, back to the five, sound yourself the five friends. I think there's this huge, and you hear it on Clubhouse more than anywhere, there's this huge industry of people that are like motivational speakers that are constantly telling everyone how they can all be billionaires. Yeah. And they pick and choose these weird things that logically sound good until you hang out with a bunch of billionaires and realize none of them follow any of these things. And most, like, you hear all these billionaires, oh, they wake up at 4 a.m. Yeah. Jeff Bezos wakes up at, I think, 7 a.m. He sleeps 8 hours a night. He talks about this. He goes to sleep at 11 and he wakes up at 7 generally. Sometimes it's midnight and 8 a.m. Like, there's not like one secret to success. And like, I have my podcast, called Hawk Talk. Yeah. We interview really successful people on a weekly basis now about how they got there. And one thing I can tell you, there is no consistent story. There's nothing consistent about success. So there's no hack. There's no, oh, I just have to wake up earlier, or I just have to surround myself with five friends that are rich, or I just have to wear the same clothes every day. It's none of that. It's just, a lot of it's luck and time. It's working hard. It's being smart. And a lot of it's luck and timing too.
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah, I really actually love your setup where you are. That's really cool.
Thank you.
For your podcast, yeah. And in terms of, I've seen you like on Twitter, and you've been all around like social media. So with like the people you worked with like over the years, which has been like the most interesting, like, I guess, collaborations, like to celebrities or different like entrepreneurs or whoever it might be?
You know, there's been a lot that are great, so I don't want to discount any, but I will say, and I thanked him because, so Gary Vaynerchuk and I share a birthday, which was on Sunday, this past Sunday, November 14th.
Happy belated birthday, yeah.
Thank you. And he, when I was starting out, so I was 2 years into business. So I had 30 employees maybe, and he was already Gary Vaynerchuk. And I had met him before. I met him once, and then I met him again on this thing called Summit at Sea. And since then, you know, we probably end up talking once or twice a year. It's not like we're close friends, but the guy has given me as what could potentially be seen as a competitor and potentially could have nothing to benefit from. He's just given me time and helped me out and been on my podcast, and we co-sponsor events and we posted things together. And he gave me a lot of credibility early on. And he knows that. He's a smart guy and a good guy. He knew exactly what he was doing for me. And I didn't have much to offer him. Like, he hasn't called in the favor. And so I even texted him on Sunday and wish him a happy birthday and just thank him. Cause he went out of his way to do nice things for me when he didn't have to. And he really, there wasn't necessarily anything in it for him, but that's the kind of person he is. And so I've always appreciated that about him. So I think Gary Vaynerchuk would probably be one of the better ones again. And we've consistently done stuff together until now. We're not, his CMO went out and launched Tracer, which is a great software technology that we co-invested in. We both helped fund, and we're both early clients. And so now we have partnerships on certain things. And yeah, it's really cool to see how he helped me early and, you know, what he's been able to do. And again, we never really compete with Vayner. So it's not like we're direct competitors, but we're in the same space. At some point we could be. And it's cool to see that he didn't like avoid me because of that.
Oh wow, yeah, no, that's really cool. And I guess just one last thing for like the listeners, if you have any closing thoughts or love to hear more about your story, and for them like to get inspired, yeah.
Yeah, closing thoughts is, I'd say a couple things. One, like keep swinging the bat, just keep trying and fighting for, keep fighting for what you want to do, but also be true to yourself. There's a, it's almost, how do you put it? It's almost, it's like the in vogue and trendy thing to do is to be an entrepreneur. And like the expected outcome of an entrepreneur, like you're not going to make any more money than you would getting a job. Like it's, I forgot what the number was, but it's like only 10% of people make over 100 grand a year in the US, and it's only 1% make over 400 grand a year. So like when you're looking at all these people claiming they're making all this money, they're mostly full of shit. And so like if you're doing it for the money, you're going to burn out. Now, so you have to actually love it inherently. And my stepdad used to say it to me when I was first getting started, but it was like, it's okay to want to just go home at the end of the day and get a job, and like not, because entrepreneurship is a grueling, grueling activity. And if you're not in, if you don't inherently love it, if you're doing it because you think you're going to get rich, you're fucked. So you have to love it. And if you don't, be true to yourself, because life's too short to do shit you don't want to do. Like as much as you think it's about money, I can tell you, thankfully, as someone that's reached a level of success, like money doesn't change that much. Like once you hit a certain point, and there's many studies about this, this isn't just me. Once you hit a certain point of income, it's not about money. It's about doing what you love to do. And if that's building and being an entrepreneur, great. If it's not, that's okay. And I think a lot of people put themselves in a bad mental place because they think they have to be an entrepreneur, not they actually want to.
All right. Nice. Yeah, really love that closing thought. Yeah, that's amazing. I think the listeners will love to listen to that, and for them to find you like on social media, where's the best place they can find
Yeah,
you?
just add or slash Eric Huberman on any of it. By nature, I have to do it all, so pretty easy to find.
Nice. Yeah, that's amazing. And yeah, I really appreciate your time today, and I'm glad we got to get put this together, and I'm really thankful to have you on my show.
Yeah, no, thank you as well.